Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft, play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new free fantasy NFL draft game. The last contest is live now. Sign up at ClevelandBrowns.com today. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, always wants to bring you the best and biggest in the football world, and that means in just a few seconds we will be joined by Mel Kiper of ESPN, doing one of his last non-network appearances before this draft, so he will be with us momentarily here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. Exciting to hear from him. It'll be his time to give us the final rundown on what he's thinking for this Browns team.
Oh, for sure. Definitely want to get into Mel's thoughts, because this is the time when I heard a reference. This is somebody else's reference, but they said basically Christmas arrives Thursday, and Santa Claus is named Mel Kiper Jr. Mel, welcome to the show.
I tell you, I hope it's a great day. I just got done talking about this. We were saying it's the most anticipated draft in my 36 years, guys. And Vic, you've been around it forever. I don't remember. Maybe it's the two extra weeks. Maybe it's the Johnny Manziel, Jadeveon Clowney draft. Maybe it's about so much intrigue surrounding teams like Cleveland and St. Louis who need to nail this draft to really catapult themselves into the next, say, 5 to 10 year period. But I can never remember a draft where you had this much anticipation and this much speculation without any answers, even for the number one pick.
Yeah, we've been going back and forth on this, Nathan and I, and that's where we want to get your thoughts, because I can't put my finger on exactly why the quarterback position in this draft has had such radical shifts over the last couple of months. It just seems bizarre on how far overboard people have gone, either thinking there's someone legit in this top five, quote, elite category, or they just shouldn't be drafted anywhere at all in the first round.
I think what's happened, Nathan and Vic, is this, and how coaches get involved. Coaches don't see these players until you get into the Senior Bowl and the combine and the pro days and the visits, the private workouts and all that. So coaches have a different view than the scouts in the front office. And then you bring it all together and you try to blend it together, and it causes a lot of disagreements and a lot of guys that maybe one group, one faction liked and the other one didn't. So, and then they got to try to figure that out. So I think with Bridgewater, it was the pro day, and then people, what they did, there were some that didn't have a high grade of Bridgewater even before that, but the ones that liked them said, oh boy, we got to go back to the drawing board here, and then they found some inaccurate throws against weak competition and some arm strength issues that were evident even on tape. So I think then that hurt Bridgewater. Carr was hurt by the USC game, but then people said, well, hey, that's one game. Ben Roethlisberger played horribly against Iowa, didn't affect him. Peyton Manning never beat Florida in 4 years, never hurt him. Then they went and they said, okay, Senior Bowl week, solid. Combine solid, interviews phenomenal, everything else good. Well, now Carr slides up, and then you have Manziel's always been up there pretty high, and Bortles has been high, and then now he's kind of, people say dropping. He's only dropping because if Minnesota doesn't take him at 8, he maybe goes down to 20 to Arizona. Then you get all those second round guys, and the guy that's red hot is Tom Savage. Why? Because he didn't get any help from that line, and he's a strong arm quarterback who can spin it as well as any quarterback in this draft. So that's where we are right now. McCarron's kind of fell back just a bit. Logan Thomas is out there as that third, fourth round pick that some like, and some think, like I did at one point, he could be a tight end down the road. He was a tight end coming out of high school. So I think we're all, and I'll tell you, a hot guy right now, Nathan and Vic, is Keith Wenning from Ball State.
Yep.
I think people are looking at him as a fourth to sixth round pick that they think they can get in a second on day three of the draft and find themselves a pretty good young quarterback.
And he was reported to have made a visit to the Cleveland Browns. And folks, if you can identify these sleepers, these risers like Tom Savage, you can win Play the Draft. It's a new free fantasy NFL draft game, and again, the last contest is live now, and you can sign up at ClevelandBrowns.com today. Talking, of course, with Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN. And Mel, Johnny Manziel, to me it comes down to this with the Browns. Are you changing the philosophy and saying, you know what, we've got a good team, we're going to add a lot of talent to this draft, we need that face of the franchise? Johnny Manziel would bring that immediately. You have him going to the Browns at number 4 in your latest mock. How likely of a scenario do you think that is today?
Nathan, I don't know. That's the thing. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. I mean, we don't know unless you know somebody with the Browns that told you who they're taking. I don't know, and I haven't heard anybody say they know for sure. We're all just speculating based on the range we think players will go in, based on what we hear from other teams, based on the needs that we know these teams have, based on our intel on the players from ourselves and what we hear. So you put it all together and you try to come up. This is fun. It's good speculative business. It's just that's why the stock market. That's why I play the draft. I mean, if somebody, whoever wins play the draft this year is a genius, okay? Because I'll tell you what, it's more speculative this year, and I think it's fun to see stock up and stock down. That's what the draft is. That's why play the draft is something everybody should visit and go and play and have fun with, because we're doing it every day. I mean, Todd's had tweaks to his mocks. He's had mock 4.5, mock 5.5. I haven't gotten involved in a lot of that, but I have my five mock drafts, the last of which will come out tomorrow night or Thursday morning. So at the end of the day, you know, I would say for Cleveland, Johnny Manziel makes sense. They need energy. They need enthusiasm. They need a quarterback. And I don't care. I said this weeks ago. I don't care how they do it. They got to get a lot better at quarterback because Brian Hoyer, unfortunately, is coming off an injury. And this notion about Manziel in Cleveland, he's not a fit. His arm strength is pretty good. He's got a huge hand. Last time I checked, Bernie Kosar came from Miami of Florida with an orthodox delivery and not a great arm, and Brian Sipe came from San Diego State without great physical ability, and both were very successful. So for me, I don't see why people would say we don't want Manziel. I know it's speculative, but it is on every quarterback. There's no guarantees in this draft of any of these quarterbacks.
Right. Mel Kiper, ESPN draft guru. And of course, as he just talked about, we encourage you highly, playthedraft.com. Go for that because it is a fun, fun game and it's available on clevelandbrowns.com. Mel, to the point of this top part of the draft, Jadeveon Clowney and Khalil Mack, that discussion about which of the two is better and which of the two should go first. And there are certainly some strong voices that say Mack is really the guy that should go ahead of Clowney. I'm having a hard time, as much as I think the world of Mack, put in order those two for us, please.
You know, I had Mack going number one, Vic, and then Mock number three, which came out right after the combine. Yeah, I do one after the juniors declare in mid-January, then one after the Senior Bowl, and one after the combine. I had Mac and mock number three going number one. Because, you say, well, why? Because he was a scheme fit, and you heard the negativity about Clowney. Then you go back to the drawing board, and you find out, hey, that's not even true. I thought Clowney hustled, and when I went back and studied Clowney, he did hustle. I would like to have seen how much impact Mac would have had if three guys were blocking one of them in every play. He was not impactful in some games where he was one-on-one against inferior opposition. I like Khalil Mack, but he's raw. He only played the 1 year of high school football. He's got a lot to learn, and Clowney's a finished product. Yes, he needs to get a few more pass rush moves, but are you kidding me? Did it in the SEC, and he was blocked by three guys just about on every play, minimum of two, never one. So this notion he's not productive is ridiculous. I don't know if that Superman could get a lot of sacks against three guys blocking him. So to me, it's a risky move. It's a bold move. I disagreed when Houston took Williams over Bush. I thought they should have taken Bush to help out Carr. And they took a linebacker in the second round, Ryan. So they did nothing to help Carr after that. After he established himself as a good young quarterback, they forgot about him. Here, they would be bypassing and overlooking the best defensive end in however many years you want to go back, maybe the 85 and Bruce Smith. So if they do it, it's a gutsy move, it's a scheme fit, and Mack's a good football player who could be great. Just go back to the Ohio State game where he flashed all that talent there, and he showed you glimpses of what he could be. So yeah, I wouldn't have a big issue with it. I would just say it's risky because, and I said this morning, it's like taking RG3 over Andrew Luck. These are two excellent football players. They were two excellent. But I said Luck was the best in 30 years. And there were still those who said RG3 is better, and I would take RG3. That's the Mack Clowney debate, just like the RG3 Luck debate.
Not a bad problem to have if you are the Houston Texans. Again, talking with Mel Kiper here. And Mel, for those of those, I just want to draw attention to this real quickly. For those of the people out there like me who feel a little naked heading into draft season without your draft guide out there, there's a great article in the New York Times about Mel that I would urge everybody to read. I thought it was a very good read. I thought he did a good job kind of getting some insight on that decision. And by the way, God bless you for taking some time with your family. I think you have more than earned it at this point. But
well, that was more about Kim Kiper having some time than me. I still had to do the book. I have it right in front of me. Unfortunately, it's only going to me. I'm as prepared. I'm probably more prepared now than I've ever been because I have to worry about all the other things that the book entailed, as you guys know. But I would just encourage everybody to say, go playthedraft.com because everybody says, hey, Kiper, he doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. He's wrong on this. He's wrong on that. Go prove that you know more. Go prove that you know more than anybody else. Go prove it. Don't just talk it. Prove it. And you have an opportunity. This is a game that has allowed, this play of the draft has allowed, in first round exchange, has allowed everybody to have a voice, to go show you can be the best in a speculative business like the NFL draft. So I think it's a resource that's there, and if you don't take advantage of it, you have nobody to blame but yourself.
I think that's right. And by the way, if you heard when he first came on, he said whoever wins that is a genius. So if you want to be called, know that you are a draft genius in the words of Mel Kiper, go to playthedraft.com and win. I want to ask you about the three-round draft that you and Todd McShay did on ESPN the other night. You started with Johnny Manziel for the Browns at number four, and then you made, position-wise, I agreed with it, quarterback, wide receiver, corner, the first three picks. I thought an interesting pick at 26 with Bruce Ellington, the wide receiver from South Carolina, when there were still some bigger, maybe perhaps more well-known wide receivers on the board at that point for the Browns.
Like Bruce Ellington a lot. I just think he's the kind of guy, you always get a curveball or two in the late first round. And Ellington, he's the cousin of Andre Ellington, who, by the way, had a heck of a rookie year for the Arizona Cardinals coming out of Clemson Tiger program. This is a former point guard on the basketball team, gave up basketball to focus strictly on football after his freshman campaign. He's got a vertical of 40 inches. He's more quick than fast. He's competitive. He made a lot of clutch catches. He can return kicks. He's a dynamic player. Bill Polian told me this years ago. He said, hey, we took like Henry Jones, and go back to all the players that Buffalo took in the late first that weren't projected, and Vic knows this, that weren't projected in the mock drafts as first round choices. They were projected as mid to late second round choices.
Yep.
And he took them in the first, and they paid, all of those guys played major dividends. So to me, that was kind of what I tried to do there. I don't think Ellington's going to be a first round pick. I said, I think he's worthy of being it, but I don't think he will. I think it'll be a second round steal for somebody, but there's not much separating Ellington as a slot receiver from Brandon Cooks from Oregon State. That was my point. That's why I did something that went a little bit against the grain there.
Interesting.
When we talk about wide receivers beyond Ellington, and of course Sammy Watkins' name is the one that's always mentioned, but now you hear more and more about Mike Evans. He's my favorite, actually, and I do think a lot about Watkins, but when I think of Mike Evans on this football team, I don't know, I just get very excited about that. Put in perspective for me how you see this so-called deepest position of the draft unfolding.
It's going to be interesting. I think you look at Watkins to Jacksonville, Evans to Tampa Bay. Those are the ones, but I keep hearing Donald to Tampa because of Lovie Smith's defensive scheme there. But Evans is certainly in the top 10. Watkins at 3. And then you get into Odell Beckham Jr., who's hot right now. I mean, you look at the Giants at 12, Detroit at 10. You could go on down. Pittsburgh at 15. I think Philadelphia would love to have him. I think Philadelphia may end up being aggressive and try to move up to get, whether it's Odell Beckham Jr. or Marquise Lee from USC, that whole Pac-12 connection with Chip Kelly. I think the Jets, they evidently like Marquise Lee a lot at 18 if he's there. And then you get down to a lot of receivers at the end of the first round. Cody Latimer, I'm not as high on him as some are, but he's got a lot of talent coming out of Indiana. He's going to be in that mix. There's no question about that. And and then you get into where these cornerbacks are going to come off the board. The guy I like, and I saw him play high school football, is Kyle Fuller from Virginia Tech, like Denard from Michigan State. Gilbert, I wouldn't say I've soured on him. I just like a corner who tackles a little better, and that's where he struggles. But he's a cover guy who's got great return skills. He made a lot of big plays in both the return game and intercepting passes and returning them a long way. So, the cornerback spot, the receiver spot are the deepest, and that coincides with two needs for the Cleveland Browns.
Which is a good thing for the Cleveland Browns. Mel, final question for me. If the Browns surprise everybody, or at least surprise a lot of people, and don't necessarily take a quarterback early in this draft, 4 or 26, and move into the second, third round range with that quarterback, who are the guys that you personally like there, whether it be Garoppolo, Aaron Murray, a guy that I happen to like a lot, who are the guys that you would say to Browns fans, listen, if you don't get that quarterback early, but you get one of these guys, that's okay too.
I would say this, if you can get, Derek Carr was there in the second round. I'm not as big on Savage as some people are. He's moved up. I would say for me, it would be more for Cleveland. You got to think about that. You need an arm there. And I think, like I said, Manziel's got the underrated arm. His arm is very,
very,
very good.
Good.
Logan Thomas, if you needed to develop somebody in the fourth round, I think he's ultimately going to be a great tight end, but hopefully develops into a nice quarterback. Murray's got a small hand. That would bother me in Cleveland. outdoors in those elements with not having a big hand, being only 6'1¼",
yep,
decent arm, not a great. Murray would bother me. I like Murray, but not in Cleveland. Mettenberger, I'm not as high on as a lot of people. I think Wenning, if you're looking for a guy down the road, a little bit. Jeff Matthews from Cornell, keep an eye on him late, maybe even to the New England in the 5th, 6th round. He fits that prototype of what they like in a quarterback, and if they like it, why shouldn't the rest of the league? McCarron, his arm strength is something they're going to have to decide. If they want a quarterback who comes in who could be a right-handed Matt Leinart, considering the talent he had around him in Cleveland, I don't know if that's a good fit. So Carr has a big arm.
It doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah, Carr
I just
has
hated
the big
that.
Arm, guys. Carr has the big arm,
right,
and the quick,
yeah,
release. Manziel has the arm to deal with that. And like I said, if you're looking for a guy down the road, you know, I've heard a lot about, and he doesn't have the big arm, but he's a good quarterback, and he's underrated. I'm glad to see, and we had him on the show, Dari and I did on the Dari and Mel show on ESPN Radio. Keith Wenning from Ball State, great to see him getting a lot of positive commentary now late in the draft process.
And what kind of a transition do you think Garoppolo is going to face from running that spread where,
mm-hmm,
basically it was all ball fake oriented from a shotgun exclusively? How much of a developmental time frame do you think he would need to be good? Because he's got the size, and I think his arm's better than some people give him credit for, but I just worry about his transition under center.
Like Garoppolo, and I agree, he threw a lot of short passes. I mean, if you go back to the San Diego State game, everything was, you know, just, you know, 3 to 5, 6 yard pass type passes, just basically like a, you know, little, you know, basically almost like glorified handoff.
Right.
And to me, you know, his arm is decent to good. It's good enough. I think it'll get stronger. And that's the thing you have to think about with these quarterbacks. And I know when I started, I thought, oh, if your arm strength isn't good, you're never going to have a stronger arm. But quarterbacks have proven once they got into the league to have to see their arm strength get better. And there's several quarterbacks this year that need to see their arm get better. Bortles has to see his arm get better. There's no question about that. Bridgewater, arm has to get stronger. Garoppolo, McCarron, Murray, you know, those quarterbacks all have to see their arms get a little bit better. So, you know, down the road, if they do, then they could be factors. If they don't, they'll be, like I say, a disappointment. That was the issue with Matt Leinart. Matt,
right.
That's what I say with McCarron. Is he a right-handed Matt Leinart? Matt Leinart's arm never got stronger. Once he got in the league, I thought it would. It didn't. The other ones have. So there's no guarantees in this business that everybody's going to follow in line with what the others did.
Sure.
But those are some of the quarterbacks that will be somewhat limited if their arms don't get a little bit better.
Mel, we know you got to run. We thank you so much.
Absolutely.
For the time, and we look forward to spending a little time with you in New York.
Go play the draft, guys.
That's right, playthedraft.com. Check him out on the Dari and Mel show as well. Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN, he said he'll be releasing his 5th and final mock draft for this year tomorrow night. That'll be available at ESPN on Insider. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at Mel Kiper ESPN. Best in the biz, he was with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Take a